It sure is good to see each of you here tonight and enjoyed those good Christmas songs. I was telling Brother Joshua on Sunday as we were singing some of those, I said, you know, those Christmas songs, some of those are pretty hard to sing. You kind of know the first chorus on them, of some of them or what have you, but after that it kind of gets foggy, and then there's a lot of different note changes and what have you in some of those. But it's so good to hear those songs, and honestly, it's hard to believe that we're less than a week away, man. It's coming. It's amazing. As a kid, it would never get here, and as an adult, it's come and gone. It's funny how that is, you know. Funny how that is. But let's be in prayer for our program this coming Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. The plan is to have the program, and then just have a few words to say afterwards. I guess primarily to our young people. So. Just be here at 10 o'clock, and then we'll plan on doing that probably, I'd say, be over around 11-ish, I guess. Just, I know people have plans, so that way you can kind of plan for it and what have you, and know what's going on there. And then the week after, we won't be here. The brother Isaiah Green will be filling back in for me again as we go to visit with Brandy's parents. So just a little updates there. And then I also wanted to tell the church that our new January and February Baptist Bread, they're up here on the front row if you'd like to pick those up, those devotionals. I was telling Brother James, I really appreciate those, and I keep mine on my office at work. That's a good place, or on my desk in my office at work, and I like having that. You can look through it and have something for every day there, and I got my little journal there with me, so it's kind of two good things to go together. But as you know, we've been going through Hebrews, but tonight we're actually going to be in the book of Luke. I want to do something different for this week. So if you'd like to, let's turn to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. This is kind of one of those places that I guess it kind of comes and goes pretty quickly. You read through it kind of quickly as you're going through. Maybe if you're studying the birth of Jesus, or you're reading maybe the Christmas account, what we call the Christmas story. But, you know, there's a lot of different little nuggets and little stories in here as you go along. And I, as far as I can remember, probably never studied on this, and I don't know that I've ever really heard it taught much about. I have heard about it, definitely heard about it. I'm sure most people probably heard about Simeon, maybe have done a study or heard some preaching, teaching, what have you. But a lot of times what I've noticed in my account of it, a re-account of it, is it's kind of something you go through kind of fast, but I just wanted to take a little time tonight and have a study on that because I find it pretty interesting. A neat thing about Simeon, I thought at the beginning of my study that I would probably go back and I would find all kinds of prophecies, maybe in Isaiah or some of the major or minor prophets that would say, yes, this is where this was prophesied in the Old Testament, and this is where it came to pass here in the New Testament. But what you'll find with Simeon, it's a very personal matter. The Holy Ghost was talking to Simeon one-on-one. That's kind of how this happened. My understanding, too, as I've studied, is this is the only gospel that you'll find this mentioned in. I've kind of looked a little bit in some of the others, but this is the only gospel that it's actually mentioned in. And again, Luke, remember who it's written to. It's written to the thinking man. Dr. Luke is the one who wrote this book, and I love how when you go through the Gospels, if you'll slow down and you really look at it, you can see attributes of who it's talking to. Again, I've said before when we were talking about Luke, it's okay to think. It's okay to have questions. The Bible tells us and teaches us to ponder on things and meditate on things. And as these accounts come through and you read these things, they're there for a reason. However long or however short, you got to think this is a person's life. This is something that a man in the Bible experienced, and I think it's a wonderful thing, even how personal it is. But I'll go ahead, we'll get started tonight, and then we'll have our time of prayer afterwards. It says here, Luke chapter number 2, I'll start with verse 21, and we'll kind of, I guess, go down to 32 just to talk about this account. Kind of give us the background and kind of go into the account here. My little subtitle, it says here, the adoration of the baby. So this was after Jesus had been born, and it said here, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. You see there also some history account, some foretelling. It just shows and proves who he is. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was so revealed, or it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents had brought the child to Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which there thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of Israel, and the glory of thy people Israel. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day that you've given to us, Lord, another day to be here, be out and about, God. I just thank you so much for that. I know so many are sick, Lord, and not able to get out, and it's kind of hard to deal with and face, Lord, and just feeling bad and just trying to get through it, God. But I thank you for taking care of me, my family, Lord, through the sicknesses that we've had, God, and just those round about us that are sick, Lord. I thank you for seeing them through, even though it was hard and maybe long times, God. I just thank you for seeing us through, Lord, and I just pray and ask for your protection as we go into this this season, Lord, and a lot of family gatherings and church gatherings and things, God. I just pray that you help us, protect us, keep us safe, Lord. And God, I just pray that you shed your light upon the word here tonight. God, just help me to say everything I should, nothing that I shouldn't, Lord. I just thank you so much for all the things that you show us in your word and things that we can just ponder and meditate on through the day, God. And just think about the people's lives that you've affected, Lord, ours, mine, my own, God, all those in the Bible that we read about. And just think about what they were going through during that time in their life and in the time of the history of the world. And, Lord, just what it means to us as we look at the big picture. God, again, I pray for your safety. I pray for those in our church, Lord, little Zeke, just each one, God, that's sick and just facing different things, Lord. We thank you for the good reports that we've heard this week and Miss Evelyn being home, God, and Brother JP doing better, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for all your blessings, God, and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you remember, we've kind of talked a little bit about this time of history. It was a dark time. It was a time, you think about the Caesars, the Romans, and how they were pretty much ruling the world or trying to rule the world at this time. And you had, if you go from the end of the Old Testament and you start the New Testament, I believe you'll find it's about 400 silent years. That's when the Lord hadn't spoken it to man like he had in the past or previously. During the time you had the prophets, all these different things were going on. The Lord would speak to a prophet, reveal something to them, and then they would relay it to the nation or relay it to the people, and they'd have word from heaven. But now you imagine 400 years. That's basically, if you look at it by generations, and you count generations 100 years, if you were to count it that way, then that's four generations of people. A lot of things maybe would not be translated or what have you. Just a dark time, just a real dark time in history. People waiting again for the light, to see that light, a ray of hope. You know, when you see a nation go from a thriving nation, when it was a theocracy led by God and God was leading them and they were reaping in the benefits of following God, you see that's a blessed time. You read in the triumphs that they had in the Old Testament, the Exodus and all with Moses. We've kind of covered that. I mean, that was an exciting thing to see. It'd be scary. It would be a hard on the nerves to try to go through that, but when you see God answer those prayers or God take care of his people, it's kind of just reassuring that he's in control. And now you've got 400 silent years, quiet years, and now all you see is the government running everything, taxes again, and just kind of what it's come to be. And you know, that's just not really an exciting time in history if you look at it from that perspective. You know, again, I kind of mentioned this before, it's kind of that way. I feel kind of that way now if you're looking at it through the lens of our government or through politics or what have you. Just not a whole lot to get really excited about when you look at it that way. But now if you have your Bible, you believe your Bible and what it teaches and the signs and what we see, we know what comes after these times. It's the return of Jesus Christ. Now that's the exciting part. You know, I see this here. We'll see a little bit about Simeon because I find him as to be a very interesting person. And one thing that I've kind of learned and try to do in my studies is not get wrapped up in a whole lot of commentary. People can tell you a whole lot of things and they can say things and that could be their thoughts. But I just wanted to relate to you what the Lord laid on my heart. You know, if this is the only place really that Simeon is mentioned in the Bible and there's no Old Testament prophecies mentioned, I'm not going to make up one for you. Not going to pretend like it's there, but one of the things that I see here, how was Simeon, how he was promised that he would not see death until he saw the Lord. Now you think about that nation or that generation. This generation shall not pass until they see him coming again. There's a lot of things in there to be excited about that I can look at. And I also, you think about the different people that were promised to see the Lord or his coming, and not all would sleep before his return. And I find a lot of comfort in that. And so we see here, following by Jewish tradition, what was taking place again in verse 21. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Again, a foretelling what his name would be. And then it tells and shows, the Bible proves, that he was named just as the angel said he would be. It's a little bit different. It's not something that man or woman made up. It's something that God had given, the name that God had given to Jesus. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they were brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. They're taking him to the temple to present him there. And that's how, I believe, exactly how Simeon knew where to be. But again, it says, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So this was a very joyous time. This was something that didn't happen too often, but when it did, it was a time of celebration and to offer a sacrifice according to which it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. So a very modest, a very humble sacrifice that was to be brought. That is something, if you look that up in the Old Testament, that was something that people could afford, even poor people could afford. The Lord made a way for people to have a sacrificer to be able to present one. Now, to get into the main part of the study that I want to look at tonight, here's about Simeon, and there's a few different things that we see about him. His name, Simeon, that means to hear, it means obedient, it means listening, to be heard, and it means reputation. As I was reading how he was being described here, it made me think a lot about Job in the Bible, in the Old Testament there. It made me think a lot about him, how the Lord used him. He was upright and just, and no one more just than the way Job was. But it gives a point of his reputation or his testimony here as being good. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. He's waiting for the consolation of his nation. He's waiting for the comfort of his nation. If you ever experience or see a nation that is thriving and you feel like things are going well and you see how things could be or can be in those good times, and then when you see it start going downhill, it's kind of a time, it's just a sad time. You can look at it with the inflation and different things that we have going on in our time right now. It's just different. It's not a thriving time for the working person. It's an expensive time. Look at buying a house. I know Sarah and Josh going through that and everything there. Buying a house, all that people are trying to do, it's an expensive time. But you see here, even deeper than that, I believe what Simeon was looking at here was the salvation. He was looking for a coming king. He's looking for the promises that he had probably read out of the Old Testament. You know, when you think about that 400 silent years of being quiet and person to have to be awful patient. When you see generations pass and no movement, nothing seemingly coming from above, it's a hard time. And he was waiting for the consolation of his nation. He had a heart for Israel. It reminds me of Paul, the heart that he had for his brethren. He wanted to see his brethren saved. You know, when you see a lot of wickedness and sin and everything overrunning the nations, and I look at America the way I look at it, just overran, it's like, how in the world would you ever turn that around? How would you ever make that right? And you kind of just get to the place, Brother Bill, you're just looking for that consolation. I just want some comfort to know it's going to be all right. And the only comfort that I really have in thinking about that is knowing that Jesus is coming. I mean, he's the one that's going to set it right. As much as our hearts here tonight, we want to see things set right. It's not in our power and ability to do that. I believe we can make change, good change, and we can do good things for the Lord just like he has called us to do. But when you're talking about the consolation of the whole nation, that's going to take a little bit bigger event than just what you or I can do. And what you're going to see here with Simeon, he was certain what he was promised here. And again, verse number 25, it says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and in the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." He had the Spirit on him. He was a righteous man. He was a spiritual man. In verse number 26, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." The first thing I see here about Simeon was he was certain. He had a promise straight from the Holy Ghost. This wasn't something that was handed down by a prophet, like I was saying before. It wasn't something that was told him by somebody else. It wasn't something worked up in his own self. See, I can get big ideas within myself and think, man, I really want to see this happen. I want this to happen. And I can try to look for evidence that this thing that I want is going to happen in and of myself to the point that I will try to make it happen. See, the promise that he was given here was a promise from God. A promise from the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was given a promise. You know, I think at that point he started looking. Is this the one? How will I know? Is this the one? Is this going to be the Lord's Christ? And he had a promise that he's not going to die until he sees the Savior. You know, that had to pique his interest a little bit. I think there was some comfort in that. But you know, if I was thinking about it that way, if I tried to put myself in the driver's seat, you know, a lot of times when I study the Bible, I try to put myself in that person's position to see how I would respond and then see how they respond and see how close we are together because, you know, some people got it right and some people got it wrong. But when the Lord makes us a promise, I think it's good that we just hold on and wait to see that promise take place. Not get discouraged. Try not to get discouraged. Try not to lose hope because he knew something good was going to take place. He knew something good was going to happen, and he was certain in that. Again, he was a righteous man. The Holy Ghost was on him. If you're saved tonight and the Lord has dealt with you about something, it's different than when you deal with yourself about something. He kind of puts this on you. He puts it in your heart. He puts it in your mind. And you kind of get to a place where I can't really think about it much else. You kind of dwell on it, meditate on it. He gives you peace about things. And sometimes he gives you that little nudge. You need to do this. You need to do that. I want you to see tonight, he was guided by the Holy Spirit. What a precious thing that is. He was living the life that he was supposed to be living. He was going to the places he was supposed to be going. We see here in verses number 27 and 28, after he was being certain, after the promise that was given to him, Simeon was searching. I think he wanted to know where Christ was. I think he wanted to know where he was going to see him, where he was going to find him. We see this in verse 27 and 28. He came by the Spirit to the temple. You know, that's what I'm telling you. He didn't think within himself, you know what? The temple would be a good place probably for the Christ to appear. I'll go there and see if he shows up there. The Spirit led him there. Being Spirit led, there's no substitute for that. The Lord guiding you and showing you and leading you the way you were supposed to go, the way he'd have you to go to complete his will. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Again, following up the law, said after the circumcision and everything it was supposed to take there, the sacrifice. Then he took up in his arms and blessed God. He took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said. Now if you just stop right there for a minute, I think he started realizing who he was talking about. You remember when John the Baptist and his mother, you remember Elizabeth and Mary, they got together and they come over for a visit. She came over to visit and all of a sudden the child leaped in her womb. So I think it was kind of like one of those moments. I really do. There's just something special about it when the Lord puts his stamp of approval, when the Holy Spirit puts his stamp of approval on something, and you know that that's what is taking place. Simeon was searching. He was searching for something, but I believe he knew exactly what he had found here. You see verse number 29 through 29 through 32. It says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now, a lot that's going on in these verses here. After he was searching, he saw God's salvation. You imagine what that was like for him to have that consolation, to have that comfort, to know this is the one. This is going to change everything. He was no longer waiting for a prophet. He was no longer waiting for a promise or something to come from somebody else. He was now dealing with Jesus himself, and he knew that. He saw God's salvation. You think about looking at the nation and how everything was in disarray and everything was tore up, everything was messed up, not the way that it was supposed to be. And now Simeon actually held the Savior of the world. Now that to me had to be a very comforting time in history for him in his life. You think about that. I think about the day that I got saved, the day that I met the Lord and I knew him. The Holy Spirit led me and he guided me and he showed me who he was. And for the first time I knew, hey, I'm saved. I have this salvation that I've been hearing about. I have this. You look at salvation, what the word means, it's very simple. It's preservation from destruction, deliverance from enemies. If you've ever felt like you had any enemies chasing after you and you felt like you finally realized that you were delivered from them, that's a good feeling. Simeon, who was, like Paul again, very concerned about his nation and the nation of Israel, he finally got to see the Savior, the King of that nation. Boy, that's consolation there. He finally had that peace. You know, for me, that's the same consolation that I'm waiting on. I'm waiting for the same one to appear. The very same one. That's my comfort. That's my consolation when I think about the world, not just my own circumstances or what I'm going through in life, but when you look at the whole world and you see everything, wanting to put those pieces together, there's no way to do that until the Lord comes back. And there's a lot that is being said here. It says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He got to see firsthand the salvation of the Lord. But also it says here, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. If you sit down and read that and you say, all people, there really wasn't that many people there, probably. I mean, it's probably a few at the temple, maybe. And what do you mean, all people? See, when Simeon, when he's holding him, he's just like us, a person. But you know, it's one thing for us to look back in faith. It's another thing for us to look forward in faith. Those in the Old Testament look forward in faith. We look back in faith in what we read here. But now our faith one day is going to end inside. I want you to think about that. Simeon, what he was talking about here, he said, now I will see with my own eyes the salvation that has been promised, that you promised me, and I'm looking at him with my own eyes. You know, if you're saved, you'll look at Jesus with your own eyes, Brother Norman. You will see your salvation. Our faith will end in sight. See, that's all we know right now is faith, a hope, a trust, a believing. One day we'll see him. We'll look at him. And what I like about what he's saying here, he is here. Simeon was saying he is now here on this earth before all people. And I believe that to mean all generations.
Everybody, when he sent him here, when God sent his only begotten son here to be the sacrifice, he put that before all nations. You know, Jesus Christ is timeless. He never gets old. Has he ever gotten old to you? He don't get old, does he? He's never gotten old to me. You know, I've never gotten old to him. Now, that would be hard to believe, but you know what? He loves us that much. We don't get old to him either. Now, he probably gets disappointed in us from time to time. But you think about what he did for us, what he's saying here. He is saying, Simeon, that's a very profound statement that he's saying. He didn't say to my eyes. I mean, you look at that, what he says, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, everybody. All the generations, the very fact that we're talking about him tonight means he's appeared to our face. He's come to us. He's saying that you have created him as a human, all God and all man, and he's going to be that sacrifice, because without that sacrifice, there is no salvation. You see, he's putting these things together. You talk about some pre-running for the gospel and how things were different under the law. You see some transitional verses here. Again, which it says here, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. I like what it says here, a light to lighten the Gentiles. It's kind of interesting here that he mentions that. You're talking about Jewish times and people, but he mentions us Gentiles first. That's pretty comforting to me. He's saying not only the nation of Israel or the house of my people. You remember, if you listen to Jesus' preaching and what he is saying, go into my house first. He was concerned about his people, the nation of Israel. But you see, this light is for you and us, you and I tonight, the Gentiles also. And I praise God for that. This would be a sad thing to read about and not understand anything about. It would be a sad thing to read knowing that you couldn't take part in it. But you see, God in his infinite ways and wisdom, he made it possible for us all to be able to accept him, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people. Again, number one, Simeon was certain. He was searching. He saw God's salvation. I want to close with this here in verse number 29. And I wanted to go back to that because probably if I'd written it, I'd probably said this way, but this is where it's at in his word. He said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Simeon saw what he came to see. He knew what he had saw. He saw the salvation of the Lord, what God had promised him. He knew how things were going to be at that time. But I want you to see here that Simeon was satisfied after this point. His mission was complete. The prophecy that was given to him, straight to him from the Holy Ghost, it was fulfilled to him that day. He got to see him. And he was satisfied. He said, now let me go in peace. Now I have peace knowing that the Savior is here. I know this Savior is here. This King is here for our nation Israel. I know he's here for our Gentile people. I know that he's here. You know, that was the comfort that he was looking for. That's the promise that God had given to him. And I thought that was a very, very interesting study. I'll keep it short tonight, because if I don't, I'll probably start coughing and we'll go downhill from there. But I thought that was a very neat account. Very short, very profound, but very small. And that it wasn't as said by Isaiah the prophet, as said by Jeremiah the prophet. It wasn't like that. It was a confirmed promise that God made to a man, and God saw it through. And then he was satisfied with what the Lord had given to him. And I just wanted to share that with you tonight. I thought that was an interesting study. I always wanted to study on that portion of scripture there. I'll ask, does anybody have anything to add to it? Anybody?